Hello, Deborah and Esther. It's good to see you. I'm so glad you came. I'm so glad you said yes. I'm so glad. I see some really beautiful white blossoms right now before my eyes. God is doing something. It's so wonderful. I praise God. Every prayer that this precious leadership team has prayed is coming to pass. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. Lord Jesus, one more time, we come to you, Lord. We thank you. You are such an awesome God, riding high. Behold, you come, O God, and you have come to these meetings. I pray you have your way now in this message. Anoint our hearts to hear, O God, for your glory. You're such an awesome God. We trust you completely, and our hearts and minds are wide open, O God, to your Spirit and your Word. For this we are grateful, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, there were some women in the Old Testament, and they were described as fighting from heaven. These women fought from heaven. I heard that today. I heard that in that song of women that are saying, Lord, you are teaching us how to fight from heaven. And some women learned how to do that. Now, sometimes the battle seems like, oh my goodness, I don't know if I have the strength for the battle. But you know, there are seasons of battle. Even a natural army is not engaged every day of the week, 24/7. But when the enemy attacks or when they go on the offensive, that's when it is. And I want to talk today about a time when many times we don't realize we are under a full assault of the enemy, and we don't really realize it. In fact, it's a subtle thing of the enemy that we really don't think it's the deadly attack that it is. And there were some women in the Old Testament who fought from heaven. In other words, God gave them discernment when an attack of the enemy, which was extremely deadly to them, was upon them, and they discerned it. And they defeated it in an incredible way. Of course, most of you know that I'm talking about Deborah and Jael. Now, Deborah is the type of a leadership who fights from heaven. She hears the word of God. She stands in the strength of God, and she obeys. She's given a word. She's separated unto God. God gives her a word, and she does not back down. But Jael is a woman who fought from heaven, and she's a woman of the tents. And I love this story because the Bible says the glory of this story, the honor of this story goes to the woman of the tents, the women of the tents, the women from the tents who fought from heaven. And I was thinking, you know, how did they fight from heaven? And where, what did they fight, and when did they fight? And when we know that story, we know that when they fought from heaven, it was one of the most hopeless times in their nation had ever experienced. It was such a hopeless time in the nation. It was a time when the people of God seemed demoralized, discouraged, in ruins. There seemed to be no clear leadership. It was a time that everywhere they looked, the highways were not safe. In other words, the paths of life were breaking down. Everybody walking this walk seemed to be ambushed from the left and the right. And I feel that way, don't you, sometimes? I look at young people in New York, I look into their eyes, and I say, God, in 10 years, these 14-year-olds, what will their children be? The darkness is so great. And when the darkness in their eyes are that great, how great is that darkness? And their spirits feeding on such darkness. And I hope, oh God, move me. If that is just that alone, make that enough to move me into being the woman I should be, and the woman of prayer I should be, and the woman of faith I should be, because is there not a cost? Just looking in their eyes. And so that it was a most hopeless time. And what were they fighting? They were fighting an enemy that had an advantage every way. They had an enemy, you know, that controlled who went to the blacksmith, because what they did is Israel didn't even have a sword or a shield among 1 in 40,000. And the enemy had it all. He had every advantage. He had every advantage. He was able to control the propaganda, what was said in those Smith's place. He controlled all the people. I could even sense, reading that story, like a psychological advantage in warfare, in the sense that the people start to feel so defeated, so outnumbered, so overwhelmed, is that you wouldn't even attempt to rise up against this enemy. And the enemy, what was it? 900 iron chariots, verse 1, in 40,000 with a sword or a spear. But how did they fight against such a time, in such a time, and against such an army and such odds, and the reality of their situation? And the scripture tells us they fought from heaven. And I said, what does that mean? Lord, what does that mean? Would you open that up to me? What does it mean for a woman of the tents, women of the tents, leadership? What does it mean to fight from heaven? And God spoke to me and said, fighting from heaven means winning the battle of the mind. Winning the battle of the mind. You know, when we look into this story, only two tribes rose to fight at that time, 2 out of 12, because that's all that was needed. Because two tribes, a small group of people, this is the picture, a small group of people won the battle of the mind. A small group of people got united. A small group of people with all that it took in such overwhelming odds. A people united who won the battle of the mind. Now, the reason how I feel I know that's true is because when we look at the story of Jael, and here is a picture of this woman, and she's married to a husband who had severed himself from Israel. He was a father-in-law of the tribe of Moses, so believers. He was a man who had every potential to believe, should have believed, could have believed, and didn't, for whatever reason. And what did he do? He severs himself, and he takes his tent, his wife, his family, and all of Israel is united over here, and here is this woman separated and lives in a tent over here. And here is a woman that is unjoined to the larger army. And here is a woman who, in her aloneness, she doesn't even have like-minded fellowship in her home. She is very alone in this. And it almost speaks to me of a fellowship, you know, a little group of sheep, flock of goats in the wilderness, you know, against these incredible odds. There's this sense of aloneness and almost powerlessness. And her battle, Jael, being separated, you know, not feeling good that her husband is moving away from that the people of Israel and causing her to dwell alone. But I can hear, you know, what is the battle of aloneness? What is the battle of loneliness? What is the battle of separation? It's all in the mind. It's the assault, living in that very alone place that we begin to battle things. And some of those battles of aloneness and isolation and being the only, no fellowship in your home or little fellowship in the church even, would be the battle of what could do I do? I mean, what does it really matter what I do? What contribution do I really make in this big fight? In this little fellowship in the middle of nowhere, what battle? Is it, what does it matter that I show up to battle? What does it matter in my aloneness? How do I make a difference? And, beloved, I can see that believing, the battle would be to believe the lie that you are not needed. That you do not count. That your contribution is undervalued. That you are not wanted. That I am not Deborah. And what does it mean? You know, in this battle. And these battles of the mind are real. But lies did not win the day in her home. Lies did not win the battle in her mind, even where she lived, in the time she lived, and how she lived. Because Jael would learn to fight from heaven. You see, beloved, when God needed to take down the commander of the host of the enemy's army, he needed Jael. He needed a woman who would win the battle in her own home, the battle of her mind in her own home, in her isolation and in her loneliness, in the pressure to believe she doesn't count and she doesn't matter. God needed that woman to win the battle of that mind, because she was appointed to take down the commander. You know, you can win a battle against an army, but if you don't take down the commander, this is the one skilled to raise another army and lead another army. That's a significant one. You can demolish an army, but if it's leaderless, it's a very ineffective army. But if you take down the commander, you've won the battle. And she was appointed because this woman in her aloneness and in the pressures that would come against her and say, you don't matter, you don't count, you're not needed, you live alone, you dwell alone in this tent. No, God says, I've appointed her and I'm going to lead the enemy to her because I'm going to show her how to fight from heaven and how to submit the lies of the enemy to my truth and to my love for her, to my purpose and my plan. And she's going to learn to fight from heaven. She's going to call on truth when she feels her enemy, her mind under siege, when she feels these accusations come against her, when she feels at times so worthless and so unseen and so unwanted and so underappreciated, and it seems that everyone else gets the glory and it seems the others are able to win the battle and they have the word of God. It's no, God comes to her and says, JL, you are the one skilled that I will lead the commander of the army to you. You're going to know. And beloved, when God took that man, the commander of the army, and he ran before the battle that Deborah led, but the commander escaped. God, as you know the story, led Sisera right to her tent. And what that means is, in the hidden years, in the hidden times, where those questions would arise in her heart, she submitted them to God. And she said, Lord, let your truth reign. Oh God, let your truth reign. I need your heart on this matter. I need to see you, oh God, as you see me. I know the battle belongs to the Lord. And Lord, this battle in my mind, I submit to you. And I ask you, King Jesus, to come and ride and give me victory in the battle of my mind. Because if I can win this battle in my mind about my contribution and about my usability in you and what the plan you have for me, even though I feel alone, separated, cut off, alone in my own house, it doesn't change the call on my life. It doesn't change your heart for me. It doesn't change how you can use me. But God says you have to learn to win the battle of your mind there. And when you do, I bring the commander, and the glory goes to you. The battle goes to you. I tell you, the battle belongs to women in this nation, to the JLs, the women's of the tent, the women of the tent. The commanders, those that can organize in spiritual places, they come down by the women in the tents, by women at their kitchen, that women who say, I refuse the lies of the enemy. And when they want me to come and compare myself to people, and when they want me to come and believe I'm raising small children and my feet are tied, because that's the proverb, children tie the mother's feet. When my foot feels crucified to the kitchen floor, and I don't seem to be able to go out and do great things for you, oh God, remind me, connected to you, fighting from heaven, you give me your mind, you give me power to break the power of the enemy in my mind, and I go out as a warrior from this kitchen, from these pots, praying believing prayers. Hallelujah. This nation belongs to JLs, who win the battle of the mind first against their own mind, against their own family, against their own church. Oh yes. And the enemy was led, and what did she do? She took what was right at hand, something she was very familiar with, something that she could handle very well. That would be a tent peg and a tent hammer, because she knew how to build her house. A wise woman knows how to build her house. A wise woman knows how to stake it in the ground and cover it with prayer. A wise woman knows that God's going to alert her if there's anything in her isolation that she would bring into her house that would bring her comfort apart from God. It's like bringing a serpent into your house where you'd get comfort and consolation from an evil thing, and God will alert you, because God says no evil thing will you allow into your house. No, you will not. You are kept, JL. And I'm going to give you the eyes to see, and then I'm going to give you the joy to obey me and power to obey me. Don't be afraid. I can't stand up to this in my isolation or loneliness. I will turn to other things for comfort. Oh no. No, say, Lord, I gave you this heart, and I declare your word says I shall be satisfied, fully satisfied, dwelling with you. As my prince, as my husband, as my king, as the one who walks with me and loves me, who's given me this gown, this beautiful dress of your righteousness and your holiness. And you, Lord, you say somehow you entwine your reputation with my name. So God, I would honor you as your wife. I would not bring honor, dishonor to your name. God gives power like that. That's fighting from heaven. That's knowing his mind and his heart for you. How strategic are you? The commander is led to you and your tents and your kitchen. Hallelujah. Now, how does this play out, though? when we say, Lord, I want to learn to fight from heaven, and my thought life will become your thought life. I submit everything that troubles my heart to you, everything that wants to cause a division in my own heart and cause me to rant or rave or doubt. Oh, God, I submit it to you. And as you learn to do that little by little, you are uniquely poised to be the oil and the wine in the church. Oh, yes. You become uniquely equipped to be something that the churches today desperately need. The great strength of women is our power to bond. Our great strength as women, when the Holy Ghost is in it, is to be friends and nurturer and truly feed into one another's lives. There's a reason why women separate into each for our company. We find great comfort and strength in each other. So what will the enemy do? He wants to divide us. Because at our point of strength, he wants to separate us. Let whisperings, let innuendos, let reputations sort of hang out there. Think the worst of each other. Oh, yes. He wants to divide us on that point because he knows unified what a power we are. We're like trees. They look like they stand alone, but if there's a stand of tree, the root system is interconnected. That's why we have to stay clean, because if we're a sick tree, we can transmit the sickness, the bitterness, the gossip through our root system to our sister beside us, because we're connected. God made us to be connected. God made us to have intense joy and fellowship with each other. And therein lies a secret power of the church that we can bring to our churches as being women fighting from heaven. Now you see in Matthew chapter 12, turn verse 25, very familiar verse to you. Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city, or every house, or may I add, every house of God, divided against itself, shall not stand. Verse 29, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man? Then he will spoil his house. And God is linking a unified house with a power to spoil the enemy's house. A unified house, unified women, and we have that unique ability to bring a church to unity, to graciousness, to kindness. That is our strength. That is our power as women of God. We bring the grace. We bring the oil. We bring the wine that is needed because, trust me, women are the wine of life. And we bring that to the church. And the enemy attacks us there to divide us because a house divided cannot stand. And when we learn to win the battle in our kitchen, in the battle in our minds, everything that troubles our heart, everything that troubles our mind, and we submit it to God, and we learn to fight from heaven, and we get the mind of God, and he says, I've come to help you. I've come to divide lie from truth. I've come to assure you I love you, and that I've called you, and that I've empowered you, and I've equipped you, and I've called you for such a time as this. When we get it here, I'll tell you, we move into the church with a very unique power, and be able to heal the churches of this land. I speak to you the truth. There is great power in women of God. And beloved, we must not despise the bride of Christ. The churches may be sick in this land. The churches may be in decimation. They may be hurting. We may look and say, is there 1 in 100 that preaches the gospel? Is there 1 in 100 that knows what it is to walk with Christ in a joyful way and in service one to another? Don't despise the body of Christ. I'll tell you something. It's his bride. It's his bride. And if we oppose her, slander her, he's going to be forced to defend her against us. You do not insult a man concerning his bride if he is passionately in love with her. Never, never insult her. And we need to get this new awe and a new appreciation back for the body of Christ. That's where you and I come in. And we see, yes, situations will fail. Men will fail. But God is the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. In him we trust. And we say, Lord, you're going to do a work in me, and I'm going to move into this situation for the bride that you died for, that you gave yourself for, that you promised you will wash her, and she will become without spot or wrinkle. And I'm not going to be part of the criticizing crew and the contemptuous crew. I'm going to be part of the healing of this body, because God is committed to healing her. God has committed himself to healing. God is giving a word. He's going to heal an end time church. We're not going out in a wimp, and we're not going out withered into the kingdoms of glory. I tell you, before Christ comes, there's going to be a bride, and the latter house shall be greater than the first. What the apostolic church was is nothing compared to the bride that's coming out of the fire. And you and I need a vision. We need to fight from heaven, because there is a bride that's coming forth, and we're going to be a radiant bride. Part of that bride, beautiful, holy, given to us, righteousness given to us, and a power of a mind, the battle of our mind, a sound mind, a kind mind, a powerful mind in our churches, because we've won it at home. I'm thinking today of choices made by the leadership in this front row. I'm thinking today how I've heard prayers prayed by them, and I'm seeing them answered. I'm seeing them answered in you today. You want to know why? They made a choice unknown to most of you. There came a crossroads of decision and of choice, and they made the right one, and they are bearing the fruit now. You. They're going to see fruit in you because they made a decision to walk unified. It was a decision maybe that cost some doubt, cost some things, but they made the right one. And you know, part of making a right decision one from another is refusing to think thoughts about each other. Oh, yes. Refusing to think the thoughts of the enemy about each other, about situations, about what confronts us. Refusing a campaign of whispering or tarnishing reputations, of harboring hard thoughts. Beloved, that's the work of the enemy among us, and let's expose it right now. Are you hearing the hiss of the serpent? He is among us working, because that is like the weak flank in the body of Christ concerning women. And it seems like such a little thing. It seems like such a trifling thing when he can come and implant a thought or a suggestion, and it has, you know, that little tinge of wildness to it. It has that little thrill of the flesh in it, and we don't judge it immediately. And someone's reputation, or that hard thought, or that seed of jealousy or envy, or wanting to pull her down because I'm feeling low, we have to refuse that. We have to refuse it, because why? There's such power in unity. We spoil the enemy's house if we'll stay united. We will spoil the enemy's house. Do we want to get those young people? Then we stay united. We stay united. We don't let our thoughts go to a place the enemy wants to lead us. The enemy is led to our house, that a temple, that a peg goes through his temple, not his stake go through our temple. His stake has no right to go through our temple, through our mind, through our thought life. We are going to fight from heaven, and a mind that is wrapped in the love of God, in the mercy of God, in the hope of God is what speaks now. And we refuse the hard thoughts. We refuse the envy and the jealousy and the reputation smearing. We choose to walk in love, and we look at one another and we see the hope of Christ in each one, and we choose that, and we love each other. And there is the health of the churches today. Power is in your hands, my sister. The power is in your restored mind. The power is in you winning the battle of the mind, of refusing the slander campaign and that which divides us. It's my privilege, and I've been going to Ireland for 6 or 7 years, and I am seeing a church being united, which used to be a land marked by division. God, by his Spirit, is moving upon that people can join hand to hand. There's the power. If we stay divided, we stay spoiled. And you know who suffers the most from that? We women. Because we crave a fellowship. We crave something from each other that is given. And if we don't have the real thing, we make a fake thing up. Listen to me now. We create a fake fellowship But it's not based on truth. It's not based on making the right choice of a controlled tongue and a ruled mind. It's based on, you know, something warm and fuzzy among each other. But the minute we're offended, the minute we're on a dividing line, the minute we're not seeing eye to eye, the whole thing falls apart and the warm fuzzy goes away. And then we just look for someone else to be gooey and sticky with, and the enemy is won. And all we do is in our emotional neediness become a relationship junkie. And how am I going to get, you know, something from her, and I can give something to her, and I'll give her my great words of wisdom. And Christ is not at the center of it. And it's a false unity. Because only our true unity is in Christ first. When we are united to the head, then the body is healthy. If I'm united to my Christ, then I think his thoughts. And if I'm not thinking his thoughts, I've got a faithful Holy Spirit to say, Teresa, that's not of me. And I've been convicted so many times and so many days. Am I an expert at this? No, but I'm willing-hearted now because I'm seeing the power and the beauty of the body of Christ and in you. And the hope of this nation is in this room. Sister has led to you. And it's a decision we make. Don't look to your heart to lead you on this one. This is about the mind. This is a decision. This is a submitted will. This is truth I know and I bend my knee to. When everything in me says go left, God gives me the power to stay right. And the law of kindness shall be in her tongue. And our brothers will see something so beautiful in this bride. There's something about a still small voice of a woman that can penetrate like no other. And some of the mightiest preachers in the land come through our pulpit. But my husband would always say, but Teresa, never underestimate the power of that small, still voice. Because many times he's not in the thunder and he's not in the earthquake. As good as it is. My husband said to me, if the Lord eventually calls you out, he goes, there will always be a female voice in this pulpit. Because the church needs it. So JLs who live in the tents, a mighty calling is upon you. It has come to you. And there are choices to be made. And we of this nation, as we win the battle of the mind, know that the spirits out there are strong. And the enemy has succeeded for so long in dividing us in our thought life. Because first we didn't win it at home concerning ourselves. We didn't win it concerning ourselves. We undervalued ourselves. We thought we are nothing. We have no contribution. That's the first lie that must be rebuked. And we need the mind of Christ concerning ourselves. But when we get secure in our Jesus, we get secure with each other. I don't have to run you down because I'm feeling bad. I know who I am in Christ. And then I can receive ministry from my sister because I'm not threatened if she's got a ministry I don't have. If she has words I don't have, I'm not threatened. I can receive it because I'm secure. And then in turn, if I hear her, she'll hear me. And together we grow stronger. Together there's a grace. There's a power that we spoil the enemy's house. Together we go out and our prayers get powerful. Our prayers have influence and weight because we're joined together truly. We're not harboring some secret sin. I don't have this grievance against someone. You know, we go to pray and, you know, it's like, you know, something not good churning at the bottom of all of it. You know what I love? I love we can pray honest prayers. David prayed honest prayers. Pray honest prayers. You know what it's going to take? Honest prayers. Go to your kitchen and say, Lord, I don't like, or I do, or this is the way I am, or I don't believe it. Say it. Say it. He knows it anyway. You're not shocking God. He's not going to go and sit down and just take it all in for a minute. He knows all about it. It's a revelation to us.
And finally, when we get it out, it's not just this much. It's a river comes out. Oh my gosh, look what I really am. But it's freeing. It's liberating. We get clean. We get power. We fight from heaven. If this is a walk in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes upon us, says, walk ye this way. And it starts with honest prayers, alone prayers, alone prayers, in your kitchen, in the place where you are found, where your mind wants to wander. You know, in that place where the battle is the strongest, I don't know who it's with. I don't know what place it is, but where the battle is the heaviest and the hardest, where everything in you wants to think thoughts other than Christ. It's so powerful when we say, I'm hearing the hiss of the enemy here. And I'm going to unmask him, because this is dangerous. Because it does matter if I get it right or not. It does matter if I get it right or not. You matter. You matter. You matter. It matters. God wants to take the commander of the army of this nation, of strongholds, of strong men, of powers and principalities, and he wants to lead them to your door. And you got to be prepared how you win the battle of the mind. When he comes to your door, you know what to do with him, because you've done it many times. You've won the battle of the mind, and now you're winning the battle over his mind. And you're going to be given power. Your words will be given power when we do this. When you want to speak to young people, it's going to be 6 words, and they're going to listen. Lisa has that testimony. 6 words, and they're listened. It's like a light from heaven that penetrates the very core. It's light, and it's life. That's what we get. Don't say you don't matter. Connected to Jesus Christ, all the resources of heaven, all the glory of heaven, all the power of a crucified life is ours. And the glory and the beauty of it and the joy of it. And the older we get, the better we get. Yes, okay. The grandma club here. Not a grandma. Sorry. Oh, yes. Why? Because our state's matching our standing. That's why. The Holy Ghost every day is lifting us up, changing us, and showing us how to be like Jesus, where we match our standing in Christ. The older we get, the better we get, the more valuable you are. Do you have gray hair? Praise God. Or white? Our best days are yet to come. Our greatest influence, our greatest power. Why? Because a woman that has the law of kindness in her tongue means she has wisdom in her heart. And she has understanding in her mind. And she has powerful prayers. She's a woman to be praised. Hallelujah. We've got lunch coming. I said, that's okay, it's a short word. But you never judge a word by its length. Never judge a heart by its dress size. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister, can we sing Days of Elijah? And we've got to go to verse 3. There's a light in this place because God's light is shining in our hearts. And we, these trees, these beautiful trees, are going to stand now. We're just going to worship a God who is causing us to win the battle of the mind. Let's receive now that commission to fight from heaven. And we'll win this battle in our mind and in our church.